Let's continue our coverage.
It's 102.5 The Bone's 2016 campaign full coverage. You're about to be red, white, and blown away.
Yeah, that's what we do around here. Let's welcome to the show. This is Gary Byrne. Gary, how are you, sir?
Good morning. I'm fine. How are you?
Gary is a former Secret Service officer. He's got a book out called Crisis of Character. A White House Secret Service officer discloses his firsthand experience with Hillary, Bill, and how they operate. First off, how long were you a Secret Service agent?
I was a UD officer for 12 years, from 1991 to 2003. I transferred over to Air Marshal Service after that.
And I'm glad that you're writing the book and telling stories, but they don't make you sign any sort of non-disclosure or anything that happens there?
No, they didn't back then. They started making them sign non-disclosure forms in 2004, and then I was just notified by a friend of mine that, you know, I can't say this absolute, but because of me coming out with my book, that they've actually issued them last week. They issued everybody on the job an email and demanding that they sign another confidentiality agreement.
That would seem like it should be pretty standard, especially with they're so concerned with people giving out government secrets, and here you have eyewitness accounts of things that are going on in what is assumed to be a private version of a public life. I mean, I'm all for it. I love hearing these gossip stories, and I want to know the truth, but, I mean, it seems like that would have made common sense.
Sure, but you have to look at it. I mean, you don't have to look at it, but I look at it from my perspective for a minute. How did I get here? I was the first Secret Service employee in the history of the country to ever be compelled to testify against the sitting president in a criminal case.
Yeah.
I was subpoenaed 6 times in the Michael Lewinsky case and then ordered to testify by Chief Judge Rehnquist. So I kind of feel like the President Clinton and Mrs. Clinton broke his promise before I did.
Yeah, they roped you into their nonsense. So you have, I get what you're saying. Let's talk about that for a second. First of all, I've been to the White House, not invited. I went like on those tours that you get to go on. I took my son there.
Yeah, I used to give those tours.
Okay, so
that was one of my jobs in the uniform division at one time. Yeah,
that now I enjoyed it. I'm completely underwhelmed by the size of the White House when you walk in there. You think like you see it from the street,
right,
and the pictures, like this is where the most powerful free man, most powerful man in the free world lives. And you get there, and it's right. Like, you know, the tour's over in 10 minutes. I always ask anybody that ever has any experience in the White House, I don't even believe that they live there.
They do. And so what you see is what you see in that tour is the ground floor and the state floor. And then actually above that are 2 more floors. And it's really deceiving. When you look at it from outside, it only looks like 3 floors. But it's actually, there's 2 basement levels below the floor where you were. So it's a lot bigger than what you see. Unfortunately, they can't show you the whole thing.
How much of that property underground is utilized? Like, I know there's 2 basement floors, but there's so much land that it's on over there. How far out does it go?
Yeah, it's just on about 18 and a half acres. It goes out a little bit. The reconstruction during the Truman administration in the 1950s, you know, built like bunkers for the Cold War, you know, for an attack, and there's basically what's underneath there is actually, for the most part, is engineering spaces. You know, all the pathways for the conduit and electricity and generators and these shops for the electrician, for the plumber, for the wood shop, for the there's a complete laundry down there. You know, with presses, and it's just really cool.
It's like a hotel.
It is. I tell you, I mean, I realize a lot of people are bent out of shape about me writing this book, but I will tell you from the bottom of my heart, it was one of the greatest places that I ever worked, and I greatly enjoyed it.
Yeah, I'm not. I think you're right. I think you were brought into the situation with the Lewinsky scandal, and you're a part of this now. You're allowed to tell your story like everybody else. I was just wondering by asking about the non-disclosure, what the legal ramifications were, which I'm sure you all about.
All right,
so
there are no real legal ramifications right now. There, I did some research. I got my ducks in a row.
Yeah.
You know, I contacted certain people, and so I'm prepared for. I knew what was coming.
But you also have to be prepared for the fact that people seem to mysteriously die around the Clintons.
Sure, absolutely. Again, you know, don't forget what I've done for the last 29 years. I've spent my life protecting other people, and I know how to protect myself and my family. And again, I got my ducks in a row, so to speak.
That's true. This guy's trained. He knows what's going on. All right, so first of all, I got to ask you, I want to know all these questions that I got you here. If you're the president and you want to go spend some alone time with yourself, like, where's the best place to go? Like, I would imagine everything's got a camera in it.
No, actually, we don't. The Secret Service doesn't really use cameras in interior. They use them in the exterior, you know, for people, for fence jumpers, that kind of thing. Interior, there's no cameras whatsoever.
None.
No, because you're invading their privacy, and so to speak, and there's issues with, you know, a lot of the White House is working. You got to remember, it's a working museum, so to speak, and very important people, not just the president, but national security advisors, people are walking around with information in their hands, you know, that you don't want to be videotaping that stuff sometimes. So.
Yeah.
Right, especially if it could get hacked.
Yeah, right. Well, now things are different. You're exactly right. Things are a lot different. It's amazing how different it is since 1991.
Yeah, I didn't even take that into consideration. You want to protect some of that stuff from getting out there. All right, so if you're Bill Clinton, clearly Monica Lewinsky was not the only one he was banging in the White House. What is a place to go where you know nobody's going to see you? He knew where it was.
Well, generally speaking, what I ended up testifying about and what I talk about in the book is most of the stuff took place in the Oval Office suite. Not actually in the Oval Office, but just behind the Oval Office, there's a small bathroom and a small sitting room. I'm sorry, a small office. And then behind the office in the bathroom, next to it is a small kitchen. Like, when I say small, I mean like one person can stand in it. Mm. And it's just for the Navy mess guy. And then just beside that and kind of behind the president's small office is a dining room. So most of the things that I ended up testifying about and other people testified about when it came to Monica Lewinsky and other people, some of it took place in that small study behind the Oval Office.
So that was the spot. He'd meet me over in the study. That was where they got. You've busted him with more chicks than Monica Lewinsky, right?
Well, you can say it like that, yeah. I ended up testifying about three different women. Monica was one, and then Eleanor Mondale was another one. And that happened when I was walking across the White House ground floor and around one Christmas. And I stopped to talk to some of my coworkers outside the map room, and as we were talking, one of the Navy stewards walked into the map room, and as he opened the door, he was looking back at us in the hallway, and we were looking at him into the room, and there was Bill Clinton and Eleanor Mondale making out, standing up, making out like high school seniors.
Whoa!
And they didn't even look up, and when the steward looked at our face, he realized something was wrong. He looked in the room, and you know, got embarrassed and quickly closed the door and ran to, kind of scurried down the hallway. And we just looked at each other and said, you know, Merry Christmas. Welcome to the White House. You know?
and Hillary knows this goes on, right? Like, she's one of those athletes' wives where she knows he's just going to bang wherever he wants.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that. I will tell you, I talk about this in my book, I will tell you that I think when he found out about Monica Lewinsky that it was real, when she found out, I think she was stunned.
Really?
And I think she wasn't so mad about the infidelity because they've been living that way for years. She was mad because it damaged the Clinton brand.
Yeah.
Because it made them look bad and it made him look ridiculous. And as the scandal, you know, drew out over all that time period and wasted all that money, they even look more ridiculous.
Yeah.
He just keeps doing the same behavior they both do.
I can't believe that she's able to carry on a political career after the scandal. This is Gary Byrne. Gary is a former Secret Service agent at the White House. His book is out, Crisis of Character, a White House Secret Service officer discloses his firsthand experience with Hillary, Bill, and how they operate. You say in the book that often you've been witness to fights that they've had where it's where she screams and curses at him, right?
Yeah, well, I witnessed one huge fight between the...
What was that over? Do you remember?
Yeah, I do. There was an incident with some guests coming into the White House. Disagreement between the uniform divisions and people coming in. And when she found out about it, she did what she always does. She blew up. She, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, this was a 1. And she, instead of fixing the problem and finding out what happened, she blew up, blamed it on the uniform division. She went over to the West Wing, and she paraded Bill Clinton. I was standing outside the Oval Office in my post. She paraded him for 40 minutes. It got so heated that we had to close the outer doors in the hallway and make staff members go around. And at one point, she was berating him so bad that he was defending the uniform division. He was actually defending us, and it was comical.
Did she know that you guys can all hear her, and does it get embarrassing to know that, like, does she care?
I don't think anything embarrasses her. I think this is the way she always conducts herself. She just explodes. She has these rants, and then she doesn't seem to care. I guess, you know, everything that we heard about them when they were in Arkansas from the state police and from other people turned out to be absolutely true.
Oh, man. What a fun bunch of white trash leading the country right
yeah.
there. She broke a vase at one point?
Well, so the facts of that story are that one morning I came in, I was told there had been an argument, and a really bad argument between them up in the private living quarters. So I was talking to a friend of mine, and he said that he was told that during the argument there was a crashing noise. Then when the crashing noise was investigated, there was a broken vase. Now, as soon as he told me that, knowing the White House like I did, I went right down to the curator's office, and the curators are the people that maintain the artwork in the White House.
Right.
And I looked in the curator's office, and there was a small cardboard box with about 7 pieces of a broken blue, mostly blue with some white, a vase. And then later on, when I went over to the Oval Office and the president showed up, he clearly had a black mark under his eye. He was trying to conceal a black eye with makeup. And so the facts are, there was a flight. It was loud. There was a crashing sound. There was a broken vase. And President Clinton was trying to conceal a black eye with makeup.
That's great.
Those are the facts.
That's great. We're talking to Gary Byrne. Gary was a member of the Secret Service uniform staff. He was outside of the Oval Office. Boy, but you've seen a lot of interesting people come and go over your post. That had to be a great job.
Oh, it was fascinating. Yeah, it was fascinating. I shook hands with a lot of neat people I met. Do you remember the actor Larry Hagman?
Sure, yeah.
Dreamy Jeannie. Yeah, I spent some time with him one day, you know, standing outside the Oval Office talking. And I tell a funny story about him in the book where he looks at my belt buckle, my gun belt, and he says how nice the buckle is. And he asked me how he could get a hold of one. And I said, well, you know, you have to join the uniform division. So a half hour later, when he's leaving, they come out the Oval Office door where I'm standing, and he says to the president, hey, I sure would like to get one of those belt buckles. And President Clinton looks at me in the cage, and he says, well, is it possible to get one? So I pulled out my knife, and I cut the metal belt buckle off my belt, and I handed it to him. And, you know, he thought it was great, and he you know, thanked me. And then as soon as it was over, they left. I picked up the phone and I called my watch commander and I told him what happened. He's like, no big deal. You know, go down to supply and get yourself another belt. So.
Yeah, that's good because all of a sudden Larry Hagman starts shooting people up.
Yeah.
Going crazy thinking he's Secret Service.
I just gave him a metal belt buckle. And actually, he sent me a picture a week later of him and me holding the belt buckle. It was very nice.
That's pretty cool. This is Gary Byrne.
Yeah.
Gary has seen it. He's been there with the Clintons. He's been there through the Lewinsky scandal. He's watched Bill maybe sneak in other broads. Do they sleep in the same bedroom?
You know, I don't know. I don't know. I have been up to the private living quarters to do escorts for maintenance and stuff. But, you know, I don't know about that part of their personal life.
Is that is it really nice up there, or is it also underwhelming?
No, it's beautiful. It's like 25. It's about 25,000 square feet on 2 floors, and it's beautiful. It's just as ornate and spotless and beautiful as the rest of the White House, and in some cases even nicer.
Well, listen, we hear the rumors. We know about some of the shenanigans that have gone on there, but you've seen it all firsthand. And put it all in a book. The book is called Crisis of Character. It is by Gary Byrne. And I find this stuff very interesting. And if somebody doesn't keep an account of it and tell the story, then it all goes away and it never makes part of history. So I appreciate your book, and I appreciate you coming on the show.
Thank you so much. I appreciate your time.
All right, good luck. There you go, Gary Byrne. Man, I want to live in the White House.
You got some stories.
Yeah, I mean, he's right. I mean, there's a certain part of me that says, hey, if you've seen some stuff that could, you know, really affect the presidency, keep your mouth shut about it now. But, like, 20 years from now, who cares?
Yeah, right. did it even really affect?
No.
I mean, at the time.
No, he was right. He was brought into it. It was all public when, you know, when he was talking about it.
I mean, he was saying about Eleanor Mondale. Mondale. Isn't that the one that Morty banged? Robert Morton?
Yes.
Yeah, right?
Oh, man. It was two. Didn't he say two presidential for Patty Reagan?
He said he's the only one that has banged two living president's daughters. Or
that's right. I forgot about that.
Who said that?
Robert Morton, the old producer for the
with Carlos Mencia.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
She was pretty hot.
She was very hot.
Yeah.
Now, not as great, but obviously. But, yeah, she was really hot.
So boy, and very loose, evidently.
Yeah, like to party well, you know. She had some power. She's like, all right, let's do this.
Making out with Bill, and Bill didn't even care who looked in, who saw what.
Whatever.
What are you going to do?
Yeah.
The only one you're worried about is your wife at that point. If your wife knows what's going on, then you leave it. And I believe that guy's right. I believe she was more mad at him, at her screwing up the presidential legacy with Lewinsky than anything else, doing it with somebody that was inside and an intern and all that. That's some good stuff right there.
You know, Bill was probably like making out with her and then turned and saw people and he was like, what?
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
She's hot, right? She's hot.
Yeah.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.